Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those for whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven, and it will be given to you. A good treasure pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Like those of you who have been a part of this community for any period of time, I am filled with Maggie. For those of you who might not know, our beloved sister Maggie died just a couple of days ago. While the grief of having lost her is surely present, for me what is much more present is her presence. She is not here. She is risen. And yet, Maggie is so profoundly present here. When I began writing my sermon yesterday, after reading commentaries and doing Bible study and filling myself with the wisdom of people who know far more than I do about the Sermon on the Plain, I could only write about Maggie. Today is not the day for her Requiem homily, so I've saved much of that for another day. But I couldn't stop thinking about her as I pored over the gospel. As Luke continues Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, and we hear deeper, more complex, and demanding words from Jesus, Maggie came to mind over and over again. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive. And you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. That's Maggie, right? Yeah. Now, I do not mean to make her holier than all of us. Maggie was profoundly human. But a primary marker of her humanity was her absolutely pure and oh, so simple goodness. Maggie's goodness wasn't the result of doing good things. It was a goodness God planted in her that she, in her very straightforward and tender way, fully lived into. I'm quite sure Maggie would not have called herself an exemplary Christian, but she was. And she's a wonderful exemplar of what Jesus is trying to teach us today. Her life was never about checking off the boxes, forgiving or loving or doing good or not judging. She would tell you she didn't do those things nearly as well as she wished. Maggie wasn't an exemplary Christian because she did everything right. She simply trusted in God's goodness and love, and she paid very careful attention. Whether it was to her beautiful and beloved children and grandchildren, or the flower growing through the crack in the sidewalk, or getting the stitches just right on one of her beautiful quilts, or wondering what would happen when she died. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Do not judge and you won't be judged. Do to others what you want done to you. Those words of scripture float around in our culture and are spoken by many people who have never, ever read the Bible. One doesn't have to be a Christian to recognize the golden rule, even if you do attribute it to Shakespeare rather than Jesus. Yes, these words are out there in the ether, but they are hard words, and they are not easy to practice. I recently had a conversation with a parishioner about COVID fatigue and emotional exhaustion. We know something of that, don't we? She said something like, "I'm a traditional Episcopalian. I just want to come to church and feel better." That's hard to do, Karen, because you demand things of us. Well, I replied I was pretty sure it was Jesus doing the demanding and that I was simply reporting on it. And today is one of the best examples of that demanding we will ever find. I do know we need to be comforted and nourished by our gathering and our worship. And I also know that the purpose of being comforted and nourished is so we will recognize that we have been made holy and set apart to go out and do God's good work in the world, like loving our enemies, doing good, being merciful as God is merciful. These difficult and demanding words can only be taken in by Jesus' most faithful followers, and that's precisely who he's talking to at this point. Our gospel reading begins with the words, "But I say to you that listen." A better translation is, "But I say to you who are still listening." It's because Jesus recognizes the difficulty of what he is saying, and only the most committed followers will stick around and listen to such demands. That said, his words do not mean our good behavior will get us the great reward, make us children of the Most High, or earn us God's love and approval. There's nothing we can do to make God love us, and there is nothing we can do to make God not love us. Love is who God is. That's why God loves us. Jesus isn't being prescriptive in this Sermon on the Plain. He's describing how we will necessarily and naturally live if our lives are steeped in God's goodness and mercy and forgiveness. Oh, I'm sorry about that. All of those are incredibly radical, pretty much impossible to live out, and counter to most everything that goes on most anywhere in our world. Think of the most odious person that ever existed. Now, now. I say to you who are still listening, God loves that person just as God loves you and all the ones you love. And Jesus is telling us that we are to do that too. Yes, that is definitely demanding. What Jesus was saying to his followers then and what he's saying to us now doesn't mean we should condone horrific behavior or unjust treatment of God's people. It is to say, if there is any possibility at all that those people might repent, it will only be because of God's boundless and unconditional love poured out through us. It's their only hope. And as it turns out, it's our only hope too. The best thing we can possibly do to help in the face of unspeakable injustice is to pour out God's expansive and unconditional love, because that is the only way God's kingdom will ever be visible. Yes, I know it sounds crazy. It's the sort of talk that got Jesus crucified. The kingdom of God Jesus made visible was so radical and so powerful that he had to be done away with so the occupiers and the oppressors could continue to occupy and oppress. That's what I mean when I say Jesus' words were not prescriptive. What he was describing is the way his followers will live when they experience God's boundless love and mercy, and the way his followers must live so God's kingdom can become visible in the world. Jesus doesn't say these things so we'll obsess over how good we are or are not. He doesn't say them so that we spend our lives focused on how many of the golden rule bits we can check off our list. Moralistic behavior is not the point. The point is, the evidence of God's love, of God's kingdom come among us, will only be visible when we love as God loves, without expectation, without condition, without concern for the outcome, without hope for payback or reward. This is the sort of life Jesus wants for us and for the world. He wants us to love unconditionally, not just because of what it does for the world, but because of what it does for us. That's why we hear from Joseph today. Joseph, who dreamed dreams and couldn't stop talking about them. Joseph, who through God's redeeming grace took his place in Pharaoh's council, saved the people from starvation. Joseph, who was hated so much by his jealous brothers that they sold him into slavery. Joseph, who became the head of Pharaoh's household and all Egypt. Joseph shows up today doing just what Jesus is talking about. Even after the horrific way his brothers had treated him, Joseph turned the other cheek, did not judge, forgave as he'd been forgiven by offering his brothers unconditional love and telling them how God used the horrible things they had done to save God's people. "I am your brother Joseph," he said, "whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Joseph had never been perfect. In fact, he too had behaved pretty badly. So had his father, and still, God made his father the father of all Israel. Jacob and Joseph are proof that God's blessing does not rest only on the ones who behave properly. But even more importantly, they show us how God redeems everything. They show us that even the worst people or the worst circumstances have within them the seeds of God's healing, reconciling, and redemptive love. The kingdom of God was made manifest in Joseph that day when he told his brothers the evil they had committed was used by God for good. He did not say what they did was okay, but he did make it possible for them to be brothers again, for them to forgive themselves as God forgives. It's resurrection hope, and that's what the Apostle Paul was writing about today. Paul's irritation and bad attitude aside, it's not lost on me that as we grieve the death of our beloved sister Maggie, Paul speaks to us of resurrection, something we hope for and believe in, or try to, but also something we can never begin to understand. What Paul is trying to tell us in this passage is that what we believe shapes the way we live. If we believe in the resurrection seeds of healing, reconciling, redemptive love of God, if we believe that death no longer has dominion over us, we can live into the fullness of life and love God wants for us, planting seeds of resurrection hope everywhere. That's what Maggie's life was like. She planted seeds of resurrection hope everywhere from Mongolia to Bainbridge Island. Maybe each one of us could pick up a little piece of that beautiful work Maggie did in the world and keep her alive, not just with our memories and our stories, but by living the way Maggie lived too. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, Jesus said. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Jesus didn't say that because we get what we deserve. God only knows where we would be if we got what we deserved. Jesus said that because pouring out God's love and grace is what we need to be whole, and what the world needs if God's kingdom really is to come. Amen.